Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. Grab a stool next to Greg Corumbus of Radio America and Jim Garrity of National Review. Three Martini's coming up.
Hey, really glad you're with us for the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today. And I think they all fit quite squarely into their respective categories. Jim, let's start with the good, as we always love to do. And one of the issues that has just been building and building and building, and the pandemic and being out of school and virtual learning certainly added a lot of oxygen to this fire, school choice, giving parents options as to how to educate their kids, and state governments, particularly in redder states, saying, yeah, we're going to help you do that in terms of providing funding for that as well. And so the latest state to do this is Iowa. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds signing legislation on Tuesday. According to the Des Moines Register, Reynolds inked her signature on a law that will allow any Iowa family to use taxpayer funds to pay for private school tuition at a cost of $345 million annually to the state once fully phased in. Democrats, of course, saying this is going to starve vital funding for the public schools. However, there's going to be additional education funding as a result of this in order to pay for parents to have this other option. Corey DeAngelis, who is one of the most active activists on this issue for school choice, talking about how Arizona did this last year, West Virginia has done this, Iowa is doing this, and then he says Texas, Florida, Utah, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska all considering universal school choice as well. So, Jim, this is something conservatives have talked about for a long time. The conditions could not be more ripe for it. They've got the votes to do it in a lot of these states, and we're finally going to see what impact these ideas can have.
Indeed, Greg. And I think one of the things that is easily overlooked here is that maybe next to Florida, Iowa is the, and maybe you can throw in Ohio. Iowa is the state that used to be considered actually pretty Democratic, never mind a swing state. In fact, I just looked it up. From 1988 to 2012, the Democratic candidate won every presidential race, with the exception of 2004, George W. Bush beat Kerry, and it was very narrow. They were generally close, but this was considered a pretty Democratic state. And in fact, Iowa had a Democratic governor from 1999 to 2011, before Tom Vilsack became the semi-permanent Secretary of Agriculture. So this is a purplish blue state. A lot of unions, and it was not the kind of state you'd expect to see a sweeping school choice proposal go through. This is one of those states where maybe you can attribute to the more populist turn in the country. It certainly accelerated during Trump's presidency and recent elections. Iowa's looking deep red. And when you are deep red, you have an expanded legislative majority where you can start enacting, significant conservative reforms, occasionally from the more irritable populists or right-wing types. You'll say, what has conservatism ever conserved? Well, school choice is a pretty darn big deal in terms of its impact on people's lives, in terms of opportunities, and in terms of pushing back against a large, bureaucratic, and unaccountable public school system. And this is another state where it's taking a big step. You could point to this. You can point to gun policies. There are actually a lot of conservative reforms that gained right to work. They gained traction at the state level. And maybe this just kind of reflects how much American politics is dominated by whoever the president is at the time. But these can have really big impacts on people's lives. So good for Iowa Republicans and good for the state of Iowa. Boy, doesn't it feel nice to be giving credit to a state instead of denouncing it?
It's, It's nothing to do with the caucus. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think the populism growth in the GOP certainly had a big impact in Iowa. I think the Trump factor there is clearly a major factor in the shift of that state politically. But, you know, the argument you always get in response to this is, wow, you guys just hate the public schools. No, we don't. We want good public schools, but the best way to get good public schools is to have competition. People try and try and try to make changes, and the entrenched bureaucracy is a lot of time. We saw it here in Virginia just a couple of years ago. Don't want to hear about changes. And so giving parents that option to send their kids somewhere else will force those schools to make changes to become more competitive and be better at what they do. So that can only be good, I think, across the board. Unfortunately, one of those states that's not moving in that direction is Virginia. Even in the House, which is controlled by Republicans down in Richmond, the Republicans even on that committee basically denigrating the idea. So I don't think it's going to happen in Virginia this year, which is highly disappointing and was a major goal for Glenn Youngkin and Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. But nonetheless, good job, Iowa, and we'll see what other states go down this road.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, on to our bad martini now, Jim. And for that, we head to the studios of MSNBC. No big surprise. Joe Scarborough speaking with New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Because, Jim, if there's anyone who's been inconvenienced by the flood of illegal immigration at our border, it's obviously New York City. It's not the Texas border towns. It's not the state of Texas. It's not Arizona or New Mexico or California. It's New York City, which is dealing with the influx of people, sometimes from red state governors. But even though he doesn't quite say it here, I think he's even more frustrated by the federal government doing it. And here is Eric Adams complaining about what he and other mayors are being asked to deal with.
I believe that when I took the trip to the El Paso, you could see firsthand the impact of how it not only harmed the foundation of El Paso, but look at Chicago, Houston, Washington, New York City. This is just unfair for cities to carry the weight of a national problem. We're going to open four more hotels, emergency hotels. We had to open HERCs. This is a major financial impact on New York City and cities across this country that are receiving a brunt of it.
Again, Jim, if he's including the federal government in that, maybe he has something to talk about. But just, you know, a few plane loads or bus loads or whatever Greg Abbott is sending his way, he's got the proportion of this completely backwards compared to what our southern states along the border are having to deal with every single day.
Yeah, look, we should also point out that as though it has mostly been Republican governors like Abbott and DeSantis that were Doug Ducey that were best known for doing this. It was also Jared Polis. At least he was doing it for a while. Now, he said everything was voluntary and that they were basically trying to connect these people with assistance groups in cities like New York and Chicago. Mayor Adams and Mayor Lightfoot screamed bloody murder over it. And after a couple of days, Polis said, okay, maybe we're not going to do that after all. Also, it's worth noting that Katie Hobbs has said she's going to keep Doug Ducey's system in place, at least for a while they're reviewing it. She also emphasizes that this is all voluntary and that there's nothing inherently wrong with, you know, taking a bunch of migrants in your state and shipping them somewhere else where they can be somebody else's problem. I will give a little bit of credit to New York City Mayor Adams. You know, yes, it is indeed not fair for big cities like Washington and New York and Chicago to have to carry the weight of the migrant crisis. I also think it's not fair to medium-sized cities or to small cities or to small towns or any place else to have to deal with this. The hilarious Twitter voice, Iowa Hawk, you know, summed it up very well. Quote, I think we can all agree that only Laredo, Texas has the economic might and resources to deal with this issue. And it's also time for Nogales, Arizona and Columbus, New Mexico to step up and do their part. Look, you know, all of these cities, very few cities are really well equipped for a whole bunch of people coming all at once with very little beyond the shirts on their back. Lots of children, lots of very vulnerable people coming here needing help. You know, your heart goes out to these people. I think basic, you know, humanitarian and some would say Christian decency requires us to help take care of these people. We can't just let them starve in the street. But at the same time, it is really, really unfair for, you know, large portions of Central America to basically see America as the place to send all of their impoverished and disgruntled and troubled, those disgruntled with their regimes, those frightened by gang violence, et cetera, et cetera. We are not the pressure valve for the, you know, dysfunction of other countries. It is not fair to expect us. And particularly when you see waves of unaccompanied children coming over here. No, Central America, we are not running a daycare center. You cannot send unaccompanied children here. We're going to send them right back as soon as we can because they're not our responsibility. They're your responsibility. We have a legal immigration process. It is among the most generous in the world. More than 1 million people become legal U.S. citizens every year. That is the process for do this. You cannot become an American just by showing up. And oh, by the way, the administration's constant invocation of a path to citizenship, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, amnesty, only makes this worse because people look at hear that and say, oh, I have a chance to get in on this. I'd better get to America as quick as I can before I miss out on the opportunity. Mayor Adams, I'm glad you're invoking the federal government. Please start saying to the Biden administration, the first step on the problem is to stop them from getting over the border. You know, of all the things Donald Trump has ever said, if you don't have a border, you don't have a country, may have been the most succinct and insightful. So, look, I'd love to see this, you know, this gets, you know, gain some traction. It says something that all of a sudden all these Democrats who kept invoking the inscription on the Statue of Liberty now all of a sudden are saying, look, we just don't have the resources. There's just no room. When other places did it, it was considered xenophobia, hatefulness, anti-Latino attitudes, blah, blah, blah. You know, please, Adams, don't bother complaining about Republicans. Don't bother complaining about other governors of other states. Talk to the Biden administration and say, hey, what if we stemmed the problem at the border instead of having to deal with this once the people are here?
Man, I feel like standing and applauding on that one, Jim. Very, very well said. Yeah, I'd love to see Adams and some of these other folks ask, hey, why did these huge swaths of people start coming to the border as soon as you came to office with your promises of no deportations and a path to citizenship? Very curious.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, on to our crazy martini now. And for that, we go to Adam Schiff. Just yesterday, we talked about Kevin McCarthy's very strong explanation as to why Schiff and Eric Swalwell are not going to be on the Intelligence Committee. He's also booting Ilhan Omar from Foreign Relations, which I think is a good move. Adam Schiff not liking this. Eric Swalwell went to the podium on the House side yesterday and talking about, you're not going to like it that I have this much extra time on my hands. Well, no, but China might. So Adam Schiff instead went to TikTok, which Congress literally just banned from government devices because it's an intelligence tool of the CCP. So, you know, if you need more proof that he doesn't belong on the Intelligence Committee, this is probably it. But here's what Adam Schiff said to gaslight the country.
Hello, I'm Congressman Adam Schiff with some troubling news. Today, Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee, all for doing my job, for holding Trump accountable, and standing up to the extreme MAGA Republicans. We knew it would be bad when the Republicans took over, but it's far worse than we expected. But I can promise you this, this is not the end of my fight for our democracy. This is just the beginning. Please join us and contribute today. Thank you.
So not a lot that's true there, but the fundraising pitch comes at an interesting time because today, Jim, Adam Schiff makes it official that he is running for Senate in California. The seat is, well, it's up in 2024. Dianne Feinstein has not said that she's officially retiring. Everybody expects her to, given some of the cognitive issues she's apparently had here over the past few years. Katie Porter, another member of the Democratic caucus in Congress, has already announced her candidacy. Ro Khanna's rumored to be running, so we'll see who all gets in here. But nothing like a politician turning a supposed slight on the House side into a fundraising tool for his Senate bid, which will probably be pretty expensive.
First of all, Greg, it doesn't really make a lot of sense for TikTok to be banned from government devices and then for members of Congress to start recording TikTok videos, I assume through their personal or, campaign accounts, not with any type of government, you know, official congressional office account. But, Schiff deserves a lot of credit for that. The idea, there's a reason that they basically said, look, this is basically, my understanding of TikTok is that it basically vacuums up all of your data and sends it right back to its Chinese corporate headquarters, which, oh, by the way, is effectively an extension of the Chinese government. Are they going to use, God knows what they're going to use this for, but it's not going to be used for anything good, right? Try to think of what good ways the Chinese government is going to use a whole bunch of data about, where you've been, where you travel to, all your personal emails, all that kind of stuff. More secondly, where he says, this is so much worse than we expected. I mean, weren't the Republicans openly saying they were going to get him off the Intelligence Committee?
Yes.
Shouldn't be all that surprised. And this guy works in intelligence? He's just making sure. Third thing that jumps out about this is that I kind of wonder how much warm, fuzzy feelings there are about Schiff, both amongst Democrats nationally and amongst Democrats in California. We looked at, his statements of, there's a mountain of smoking gun evidence of, Donald Trump colluding with the Russians. And then the Mueller report comes out. Says that, nope, no concrete evidence, nothing to prove it. And I wonder how many Democrats get angry at Schiff. Right? We talked about this earlier. Like Schiff, by being on the Intelligence Committee, you're seeing stuff not everybody else does. So people tend to think, he must have seen something that some smoking gun, something really clear that makes this incontrovertible. And then all of a sudden we find out, no, that was just Schiff, mouthing off, just, saying how he interpreted things, not what the evidence actually pointed to. And I wonder if some Democrats look at that and say, hey, you jerk, you got our hopes up. Now, obviously, this is California politics. It is going to be fighting tooth and nail. Already, Porter wants it. I'm sure there's at least, basically, for a really long time, Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein had the two seats, and there just weren't that many opportunities for an ambitious Democratic politician in California. So I suspect, Schiff, there'll be a lot of other Democrats who will have past rivalries or grievances with Schiff and all that kind of stuff. It would not surprise me to see Adam Schiff fall flat on his face in this primary. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Probably doesn't help to be a white male. Probably doesn't. But I also think he's just best known as the guy who was insisting that, Trump was going to get arrested and that there was this huge amount of evidence and that there just wasn't. And everybody's kind of like, what were you looking at? What were you pointing to? It's a bit like Geraldo and Al Capone's vault or something like that. So I hope this ends with him flopping miserably. I do wonder how much Democrats kind of resent him for hyping up the Russiagate stuff. But I guess only time will tell, Greg.
Yeah, so we got lying about Russiagate versus the congresswoman who keeps talking about her 9-year-old daughter can't sleep at night due to fears of climate change. So wonder where she's getting that from. So clearly the best of the best are running in California. The good news is one of them won't be in Congress at all in a couple of years. And I think you're probably right that it might be Adam Schiff. But we will see. But if anybody deserves a ticket home permanently, it's him.
I was going to say, good luck, California.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what Republicans might be on the docket there. But while Schiff and Porter try to shift to the Senate, Jim, in the NFL, there's another potential shift being talked about. And that is because the Jets have hired Nathaniel Hackett, most recently the Broncos head coach, but before that, the Packers offensive coordinator, in conjunction with the fact that the Packers are willing to consider trading Aaron Rodgers within the AFC. There's a lot of speculation that Rodgers could end up with the Jets. Now, as a longtime Bears fan, I will tell you, from Packer quarterbacks hemming and hawing, they're not going anywhere until they actually go somewhere. But when they do go somewhere, Brett Favre, they do go to the Jets. So is this something you would like to see, a nearly 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers come into East Rutherford?
Well, at the risk of using my phrase, there's a lot to unpack here. My first thought is, you know you're getting old, Greg, when you see the headline, Hackett coming to Jets, Packers quarterback possibly coming to Jets, and your headline's, I have a bad feeling about this. I've seen this before, and it didn't work out before. Before, everyone was talking about, Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator to the Jets. Back during the Chad Pennington days, I was complaining about Paul Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett's father, being the offensive coordinator for the Jets. The Jets were pretty good during that time, but I remember just, you know, with my dad and my brother fuming about the play calling, all kinds of, you know, running it up the middle when everybody was expecting it. It just felt very uncreative, cookie cutter, predictable, stale, not utilizing the talent as best as it could be. And, eventually the Jets got rid of him. And my sense is like, okay, great. Finally, I'll never have to worry about Hackett being the offensive coordinator of the Jets ever again. Well, I don't have to worry about that Hackett, but now I have to worry about a different Hackett. Yes, he did have success, some of his best success, when he was offensive coordinator for the Packers for a few years. That was one of the reasons he was hired by the Broncos and had one of the quickest and most ignoble tenures of an NFL coach in recent memory. Having seen Brett Favre with the Jets, were a very up and down year. Yes, they had a very great start. Favre is a very exciting player. My understanding was that the Jets' receivers, honest to goodness, are having a hard time catching the ball because, quote, he threw it too hard, unquote. Ow, it hurts my fingers. I'm not used to catching balls. You know? There were some great years, some great games with Brett Favre, but he just collapsed by the end of the year. Combination of, you know, getting hit and all that stuff. Favre was, you know, by the end of the year, he looked washed up. And then he went to the Vikings and had two more pretty darn good years over there. So I've seen this movie before. I'm not itching to see a Hall of Fame Packers quarterback come to the Jets for, you know, one or two more years. You know, a lot of this will depend on the Rodgers contract. What kind of trade compensation did the Packers want? Does Rodgers want to play for a year, 2 years, 3 years? You know, there's a whole bunch. That having been said, hiring Hackett, who is seen as, you know, Rodgers' buddy, is definitely seen as a sign that the Jets want to sign Aaron Rodgers, and I fear we're going down this path. You know, out of all the options in the offseason, I'd love to see Lamar Jackson. I don't think Baltimore's going to let him go. I was not particularly enamored with the idea of signing Derek Carr, but there was a lot of buzz in that direction. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo, look, when he's healthy, he's fine. He's great. But I think there's a big question about whether he's, you know, got all the durability of a Fabergé egg. So I'm my usual depressed self, which is about where I should be in January of the NFL offseason.
Yeah, this is championship weekend, which means it's been 12 years exactly since your team and my team have been in the championship game. And so that's pretty bleak. Well, neither of us have won a playoff game since. Today is 37 years since the Bears won the Super Bowl. Exactly. I will give you this advice, though. If you end up with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, don't introduce him to any female reporters. And if they do meet, make sure he has a phone that can't take pictures.
Yeah, you know, my attitude would be that if the Jets still had Sam Darnold, after his infamous mono infection, I'm sure his attitude with Rodgers joining, be like, look, he's a great player. I'd love to have him on my team as long as he's had all his shots. Oh, it's Rodgers. He hasn't had all his shots.
So. Oh, controversy. And then you could spend the next offseason or two wondering if he's going to come back, like all the Packers fans do. But anyway, fun to watch. And we'll see what happens in the championship games this weekend. And Jim, I will see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity, National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Do subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch podcast. If you don't already, tell a friend about us as well. Thanks very much for your 5-star ratings and your kind reviews. Please keep them coming. Get us on your home devices. All you have to say is play Three Martini Lunch podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Jim is at Jim Garrity. I'm at Dateline_DC. Have a terrific Thursday and join us again on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.